Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is Podcast 577. Took about a week off after Thanksgiving, and so going to post another Bob Davis Podcast radio show. This is Bob Davis Podcast radio show number 55. So we're just going to start. We're going to roll the first segment, and I'll be back after the first segment with some messages. Here is segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. So in this show today, I want to talk about three things that you need to be thinking about when it comes to politics and political news these days, because there's a lot of chaff out there. The first thing I want to talk about is the Messiah syndrome. The second thing I want to talk about is partisans painting themselves into a corner. And the third thing is false narratives. And hopefully there will be some time at the end to sum up all of this at the end of the hour, kind of a general facts of life summary. Now, it doesn't matter these days where you get your news, whether it's mainstream media, alternative media sources, the internet, YouTube, everybody is doing the same thing. They are setting us all up for some kind of major disappointment through these various problems. First is the Messiah syndrome. Now, conservatives decried it when President Barack Obama became the president, when he was the president-elect, and everyone said that he was going to fix everything and change the world, and now they are doing it with President-elect Trump. He is literally a messiah. Now, I mean a messiah, a man chosen by and protected by God, according to some. He is going to restore America to something. I don't know what specifically. It isn't specified in any of the campaign rhetoric articles or YouTube videos that I've seen. He's just going to change it and fix it, whatever it is. So it goes. People are celebrating, except for the spawn of Satan, known as the American left. The left is alternatively grieving, converting, or working to undermine the New York developer who would be president of the United States. And we are told we have to pray for Trump because bad things are going to happen, and he might just be the only person on earth who can save us from whatever it is. This Messiah syndrome takes on many forms these days, from overwrought religious people on YouTube, some of my favorites, sharing their dreams, or Hopi elders sharing their visions, or videos that say we're in the final days and the world's going to end, or the idea that Trump, regardless of what he said on the campaign trail, somehow just gets it and we're supposed to ignore everything that was said or is said, or that he's way smarter than his opponents think he is because he's going to fix everything QED. Donald Trump will slay all the dragons of the left for us. He will neutralize Black Lives Matter, George Soros, La Raza. You can make your own list. He will stop in one tweet the people demanding higher minimum wages. He will return America to a time when women were women and men were actually men. Again, literally, this is what's going on out there. I read a bunch of pieces this week about how we need somebody to return women to their traditional roles. There won't be any more of this rainbow gender crap or confusion about bathrooms because he, Donald Trump, will fix all that. To the learned articles in the New York Times, which early on labeled Trump as a populist, and now suddenly he is a standard corporatist politician, to some of the other commentators, it's all about this idea that he is some kind of messiah. And on it goes. It seems unnecessary to have to say this, but I'm going to because it must be said. It has to be said again. The presidency is a political office. The president does not push buttons, despite all the talk about the nuclear codes, and just make things happen. Some things the president can do with executive orders, which of course has gotten President Obama in trouble with lots of people. But most things that a president wants to do requires Congress to pass laws, repeal laws, and eventually somehow to authorize through resolutions, everything from budgets to troop deployments and anything else that you can think of. I've often recommended that people watch this movie on HBO called All the Way, which is about Lyndon Baines Johnson's presidency, because not because I agree with Lyndon Baines Johnson or anything else, but because it's an excellent portrayal of what the presidency actually is and how it actually works. They spend a lot of time on the phone and they spend a lot of time cajoling and politicking and working with legislators to get things done. This is the part of the job that the current president hates so much. This is why Obama said he hated Washington and he hated politicians, and most presidents leave office saying the same thing. So whether it's fixing the border, fixing the economy, getting rid of Obamacare on day one, shutting the Muslims up, unleashing the FBI to put Hillary in the lockup, quote-unquote restoring America to a place where white people can be proud and women know their place, these are all things that have to happen through a couple of different mechanisms. All of them are political. What does that mean? Well, it means the nuts and bolts of both politics and, the world and human nature. Exactly what I just said about, previous presidents hating politicians. This is the stuff most Trump supporters weren't and remain relatively uninterested in because it requires real work, getting down in the trenches or getting your hands dirty. Now, what are some of the factors that that we have to face in the next couple of years in terms of politics? And it doesn't matter what part of the political spectrum that you hail from. Gubernatorial elections will be held next year. Many states are states in which Republicans are defending the office. And there's also going to be a congressional cycle in 2018 in which Republicans could lose more seats in the House, and there will be many opportunities for Democrats to gain seats in the Senate. So as soon as the next president is inaugurated, these guys will start running for office. They'll start working to raise money. They will start politicking in their states because that's just how our system works. It's consistently renewed, and there's consistently new issues. So almost immediately, the Messiah is going to be embroiled in this political question of what is possible in a first term and how to win a second term while maintaining the majority. And this is why Rance Priebus is part of the White House, and that is why Paul Ryan remains the Speaker and why Mitch McConnell is still the majority leader in the Senate, because they are considered to be people who helped engineer, quote-unquote, a historic victory. The other mechanism is the process of selecting the cabinet secretaries, deputy secretaries, assistant deputy secretaries, all those people in the executive branch. They do not come from central casting. They are not manufactured in the basement of Westworld. They are not reprogrammed to fit the political philosophies or goals of the new president like the machines on Westworld with some sort of a update for software. Whether it is Elaine Chao, Mitt Romney, David Petraeus, Jeff Sessions, Tom Price, Betsy DeVos, Governor Nikki Haley, Steve Mnuchin, I don't know how you say his name, but another guy with a crazy spelling of a name, Wilbur Ross, and the nominees for several other agencies from the Defense Department to Homeland Security, Veterans Administration, and so on. All of them have their own life experiences, government experience, views on issues, ideas about how to do certain things, and all of them are going to pick people to be their deputies who also have their own ideas, and that's just the top layer, because underneath that, you have all these bureaucrats who have been there through different administrations who are actually running these departments. You also have to remember, picking senators and congressmen and governors for cabinet positions mean those people have to be replaced with competent people who can win re-election in the next cycle. The Messiah and his executive staff are going to have to work through all of these structures. So both from the perspective, if you're afraid of the Trump presidency, to the perspective of believing that he was going to or is going to snap his fingers and fix everything, that somehow all the news stories, tweets, Facebook memes, and talk show mouths tell you what's going to happen and what should happen, mostly it is all just noise. He is not a messiah. He is a man. He is also a man who did not win the popular vote, who is going to struggle with powerful people in all these different positions, even within his own party, to quote unquote get all these things done. It infuriates me that this kind of reporting that we have today sets people who supported Trump up for failure, because when he finds it difficult, if not impossible, to get something done, or God forbid, makes a terrible mistake, who's going to be there to defend him? Because the fact is, there's a lot of newly minted experts over the last few years who are partisans that have painted themselves into a corner, and we're going to talk about that next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show.
Is there anybody out there? Is there anybody waiting? Getting sick of your surroundings. All you want is some attention. You can tell the truth. You can tell the lie. Say anything you want to say.
Just ahead of segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. So we're back from a week off, and it was great because all week I just did a lot of yoga. And, you know, I practice yoga every day, and I usually take a day off a week. I usually double dip at least once or twice a week. And I do, you know, the Yoga Sculpt and Power Yoga, and my favorite, the Bikram series, over 100 degrees, high humidity, lots of people in the room, lots of sweating, and people get dehydrated. It's one of the big problems, and it's a problem with almost all sorts of fitness that people don't realize, that you can get dehydrated even if you drink a lot of water. And you'll notice it if you're really sore, and I thought soreness went with the territory until I found Hydrus, and this was the end point for, you know, for me really transforming my yoga practice. Hydrus is a new high-performance beverage. It uses something called exclusive nanosome technology. It gets critical electrolytes into your muscles with unrivaled speed and effectiveness, and there's no sugar in it, so it's great for weight cuts. It's one of the reasons wrestlers love it, but all kinds of athletes are using it. CrossFit athletes, you know, strongmen athletes, tennis players are using it because you will really see performance. That's why they call it the performance you know, revolution. Because what happens is if you're taking Hydrus, if you're using Hydrus, you drink it before, during, and after your practice, you can take it to the edge. So I'm finding that my yoga practice is much deeper. I can do you know, poses I didn't think I could do before, and I feel like I'm making progress, which at my age is a pretty really good thing. So join the performance hydration revolution. Find out more about Hydrus. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. That's HydrusPerformance.com. HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. You can also click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. It takes you to HydrusPerformance.com. Whether you cycle, CrossFit, lift, competitive sports, just about anything, it makes a huge difference. There's all kinds of other benefits from it. Find out more about it. Visit the website or send me an email. I'll tell you all about it. I love Hydrus. HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. Okay, here is segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Davis Podcasts radio show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Please remember, I'm not saying I agree with the things that I talked about as agenda items, or that I agree with Trump or disagree with Trump or anything else. I'm not picking a dog in the fight, but these are going to be some of the political challenges coming up the next 4 years at minimum. And in this segment, we're going to talk about, speaking of who's going to defend Trump, partisans painting themselves into a corner. So it's common in media these days to push talent, the people that are on the air, into taking a position. You are told that you won't get clicks and views by being objective. You get clicks and views by saying ridiculously partisan things, which if they're too partisan, they won't defend you for. You pour gasoline on the fire most of the time. You call people names. You go confrontational and negative whenever possible. You oversimplify. You tell your people what they want to hear. From the get-go in 2016, this is what happened in most of our media. Commentators, talking heads, talk show hosts, anchormen and women, really anybody who is a public personality, whether they're on television, whether they are an artist, whether they're writing for a newspaper or a website, they are under great pressure. pressure to take a position. Now, some of them accepted this challenge willingly, and some of them were just pushed into it by their so-called managers. They were expected and encouraged to endorse someone in the election or take these ridiculous positions. So this is how we learned who Matt Damon was going to vote for, as if we cared. We learned what the guy who did all the dirty jobs thought about everything. We learned the local talk show host was going to endorse this one or that one. We learned that every national talk show host, even the sports guy and the weather guy, was going to support this one or that one. And then what they did was they continued to spew information that backed up whatever claim they made, because once you take this partisan position, that's the position that you're coming from. And everything you say from there, whether you even know it or not, is colored by this intense position that you've taken. Most of the mainstream media, as we know, endorsed in some way, shape, or form, or literally, Hillary Clinton. And actually, I think one of the chief reasons she lost is because her supporters basically heeded the mainstream media's prediction that she would win, which, by the way, was incorrect, as I've told you in previous shows. While all the usual players in so-called conservative media either endorsed Donald Trump at the outset or Ted Cruz until, of course, that was politically untenable. And then suddenly they realized the error of their ways and came up with some confused logic that enabled them to endorse the Messiah. So from Alex Jones to Kirstie Alley and old Kanye West, we heard who believed who should win and why. Media players essentially picked a side. And after that, as I said, everything they had to tell you was useless because its purpose was to back up their original endorsements and positions. Now, for a while, because Trump won the Electoral College vote, they are golden. Until he takes office and then starts doing stuff, and he starts living under the, you know, the unescapable Klieg lights and the attention that the presidency attracts, and starts having to deal with the media that he is enraged for whatever reason and who is out to get him. You know, Richard Nixon also thought he had vanquished the hated media as well. He thought he had it under control, and then something called Watergate happened. Because immediately after the Electoral College votes on or about December 15th, and Trump becomes the official president-elect, and then eventually the president, all these people are going to have to play defense, which is something most of them in the last 5 or 6 years that have come up have not had to do. They are going to find themselves in a position, since they endorsed Trump to begin with, to defend everything he does, because if they don't, their halos will become tarnished and ultimately fall, and they will reside in a personal hell of their own making. And because they are on the right in most cases, they'll be defending the president and themselves by themselves, because the truth is that if you're on the right in this country, no one is going to come and help you. They are going to ignore you when you get into the weeds and go on to the next guy. This is one of the greatest disservices to the people of this country, this process of doing your thinking for you and having the presumption, the arrogance that someone like me would do your thinking for you. People criticize the media these days all the time. I do it all the time, enthusiastically, because the media generally sucks. And one of the main reasons the media sucks is it uses quotes to write stories, as I've talked about. You have to have quotes from a bunch of people. You weave that all together with a narrative filled with quotes, which does something that they call giving the story voices or adding voices to the story. It doesn't matter if these people know anything. It just matters that they get quoted to add the voices. I saw it in the primaries where they'd walk into a room with 60 people and they'd talk to 4 or 5 of them, and their quotes would appear on Bloomberg and Reddit and, you know, Breitbart and NBC News and so forth. And of course, they didn't do any research on what the candidate actually said. You see this in coverage of almost every single story these days. Black Friday sales is always a good example. They'll go find Mark Zandi, who is the leading economic quote whore, who will say yay, nay, up, down, or whatever, and then he's quoted, which gives the story a voice. For politics, it's Larry Jacobs here in the Twin Cities. Usually, he is also one of America's leading quote whores on the political side. And then there's the man on the street, the ultimate quote whore. They talk to 6 people about their plight as unemployed miners on the range up in northern Minnesota, for example, and suddenly that provides us an accurate picture of the economic problems facing the region, which, by the way, it doesn't. Then you fill it out with some quotes from whatever at the time is available at the local university, and you add a hot little headline like Northern Minnesota miners look to Trump, and boom, name, you've got a story, and if it's in something like the Star Tribune or the New York Times, it carries all this gravitas because it's in the paper of record, which has fewer subscribers than some guy's YouTube channel, but nobody thinks about that. If you're going to be at a political rally, don't bother with the source material to find out whether the stump speech makes any sense. Just go there, interview a bunch of people, write something up, and send it in. Now, that's a fair criticism for the way that our crappy media does its job. But if you spend any time on Facebook for any length of time, you will find citizens doing exactly the same thing. You don't know what you're talking about. Here's a link to prove it. Welcome to my YouTube channel. The aliens are coming soon. Here's what NASA says about it. Or screeds written about the election or any other subject, which is backed up by quotes from talking heads on TV that somebody has seen. So we're doing it too, because it takes too long to actually think about stuff and come up with our own unique ideas about things and express them. So people feel that they need to find ersatz heroes on radio and TV and YouTube and the internet and so forth, where this guy really told them off, so this is my favorite new guy. What do you say? Tell me what you say. Don't post a link. Don't post a picture of the map with the oil pipeline. Tell me what you think, because this is the gravitas. This is the place where the intensity and the real passion comes from, the kind of passion that you need to build political organizations. So that's the state of the way things are today. So coming up, if it's not the quote whores, it's the false narratives. And I want to talk about some of the false narratives that we're seeing now in the next segment. Now, if you want to know more about me, visit my website and listen to some podcasts and check it out, thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show.
Listen as the wind blows from across the great divide. Voices trapped in yearning, embers trapped in time. The night is my companion, and solitude my guide.
Back in the studio, live, just ahead of segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Well, we've had some good weather. There's no question about it. We've been really lucky in the upper Midwest, and in particular the Twin Cities, given the time of year that it is. We had one little snow, but we haven't had the cold weather, but it is coming. And when the cold weather comes, whether you have a business or you're talking about your house, you're going to have potential emergency plumbing and heating problems. So here's what I want you to do when we get into the climate change we call winter in the upper Midwest. Remember Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for emergency service, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. They do great emergency service, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. They can still do heating and water heater checks, which is a good idea before we get into the cold, because you know that that's coming after Christmas. Residential and business. I don't talk enough about business, because businesses have plumbing and heating problems as well, as sometimes they're critical, especially if you are handling or dealing with health regulations, things of that nature. Ryan does a lot of business. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. Wherever you are, they can get a plumber to you. Again, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, online at ryanplumbing.com. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. All right, here's segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. To sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, The Bob Line, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. Okay, so we've talked about the Messiah syndrome, partisans painting themselves into corners. And now we're going to talk about a really serious problem in the news, which I think has a big impact on people. And that is false narratives. By the way, I don't know anybody who calls these things. These are my names and my ideas for these issues. They're not copied from somebody else, even if they may sound similar to some people. Good for them, good for me. These are things that I feel are significant impediments to independent thought in this country, which we need so badly. I didn't take these names from somebody else. I'm not quoting somebody else, as I said, and I'm not defending somebody who got elected, because I've maintained steadfastly refusing to endorse anyone or say anybody's good, bad, or whatever. I think 90% of the problem in this country isn't Wall Street, Washington, K Street, or Hollywood. I think 90% of the problem in this country is us, the people. We don't take responsibility. We act like children. We won't do any work when it comes to changing anything in political organizations. We expect somebody else to do it all. Some of us think if we riot or post a YouTube video rather than vote, if we yell and scream at people and cry that the world is unjust, somehow that is going to fix things. Of course, adults know that that's not the way things work. Other people just retreat into the end of the world scenarios, conspiracy theories, and complaints about the world's elite and China. It's always China, doing some horrible thing, or Russia, depending on where you come from. Another one of the big problems seducing the average person and setting us all up for a big disappointment is something called the false narrative. And here's how it works. I can't tell you how many articles I've read in the last month telling me why Trump won, almost all of which have already been debunked or will be debunked, whether it's women put him in office, blue-collar guys put him in office because he didn't win the popular vote, he's going to be an illegitimate president, Trump is going to throw the elite out of Washington and, quote, drain the swamp, he's going to start World War III and push the button, and so on. These are all false narratives. In other words, they're based on lies, literally. Most of the time, once again, it's a storyline that is surrounded by quotes. So somebody says that Trump is going to drain the swamp, or somebody says that he is going to start World War III, and that becomes some kind of story. Or it's a storyline presented by an anchor, and then the rest of the segment is spent with two opposing spokespeople arguing about this ridiculous position via windows, which means they're sitting in a studio in Greensboro, North Carolina, staring at a green wall, and the other guy is in Detroit staring at a green wall. False narratives have a way of becoming folklore later until they are disproven by somebody, and then we can argue about that for a number of years. It is going to be a number of months, maybe even years, before political scientists understand exactly what happened on November 8th, 2016. And everybody's got a theory, but my personal way of describing what happened to people is, look, Donald Trump didn't win the election so much as Hillary Clinton lost it in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Except for Ohio, Trump won by very close margins percentage-wise, comfortable margins when you count the votes. But when you actually look at the actual votes cast, he did fine, but he won by very tight percentage margins. Now, the Electoral College is going to end up doing, if it works properly without being interfered with, what it is designed to do, which aside from being a check on the popular vote, it expands a slight victory to an electoral mandate, which gives the new president a little bit of a break going into office in a close election. It's supposed to unite us, which supposedly we all want, around a new president to ease this transition of power, which is a fact of life in United States politics. The facts of life are he won by a very tight margin when it comes to votes in those states that I mentioned, and he lost the popular vote. So all this stuff about creating false narratives that the Russians hacked into the voting machines, don't even get me started about that, demanding recounts because you want to, quote, ensure the electoral system is sound, which is nonsense. Women put Trump in office, as I said. Blue-collar workers put him in office. He's going to throw the bums out and drain the swamp. He's a Nazi in disguise. Just look at these idiots saying Heil Hitler. He's a conservative, which is a doozy. He's another Reagan, which is an even bigger doozy. He'll turn the economy around as soon as he gets in office. Just look at the stock market in the last couple of weeks. It's rallied. Utter nonsense. It's rallied, but who knows why. And then he's going to shut all these groups up that upset everyone and send all the Mexicans home right away. I mean, all of this is a bunch of nonsense. Do I have to go on? It's all BS. It's just BS. And what it is a false narrative designed to keep us watching, to keep us believing our choice was either dead wrong or the best thing that has ever happened to the country. Most of it, whatever it is, will be disproven. Some of it is nothing more than conspiracy theories. Every now and then, one of these narratives turns out to be right because someone actually ran down the information and figured it out, not because the guy who made it up really knew anything beforehand. I know because I've made up a few of them myself. So no, the media has not learned its lesson, and neither have the so-called right-wing mouths or the people. There is precious little reporting on the actual workings of government, because the truth is, nobody in this country wants to hear about this. You don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. We want to hear whatever we want to hear. And so the hard work of actually realizing that, and I'm going to talk about this in the next segment, some of the problems that we are facing are significant. Budget problems significant, economic problems significant, foreign policy issues significant, and they don't get fixed with rhetoric. They are complex problems. And I don't mean to take the view that, you can't sometimes have a simple approach to fixing a problem, whether it's Reagan standing up and asking who the air traffic controllers work for and finding out that they work for him and walking out into the Rose Garden and firing them, or boiling problems down to simple solutions and having the intelligence to do that. I'm not saying that that can't work. And I'm not saying either that Donald Trump won't do that or that Hillary Clinton would have. I'm also not against the current president. I'm also not for him, because if I take a position and say this is a fantastic guy, that Donald Trump is going to be a fantastic president, then I have to defend that for the next 4 years. I don't know what kind of president he's going to be. I don't think he knows what kind of president he's going to be. I don't think he knows or his people know. And we're going to talk about some of this in the next segment. Whether some of the things that have been discussed as quote unquote policy are actually going to work. And as far as draining the swamp is concerned, and I mentioned this in a couple of segments in podcasts and also on the radio show, just look at this week's appointments from places like a lot of people from Goldman Sachs. And of course, that's being turned into this, Goldman Sachs is dominating this administration, which is, he's made two recommendations or appointments which still have to be approved from people who used to work at Goldman Sachs. If you're of a certain political point of view, where are you going to find people? Again, I've said this and said this and said this. When you get to the top levels of our society, the people that are going to be employed in these cabinet level positions with a lot of responsibility, you're not going to go hire the guy who, is the guy that, lays concrete, because he or she would be completely overwhelmed in a very short period of time as a cabinet secretary. So you've got to go to the top levels of government, and that's, you're going to find statists, you're going to find moderates, you're going to find moderate center left or center right moderate politicians or bureaucrats to run things. And if you want people from the banking industry, you got to go to the banking industry to get them. Doesn't mean that anyone is dominating a particular administration, but clearly with people like Elaine Chao and the Treasury Secretary nominee, et cetera, it's obvious that this swamp is not being drained. So you and I want to hear what we want to hear. So they are telling us what we want to hear, which basically boils down to, you want Zeppelin? Here it is. We're getting the lead out all weekend on The Rock. Coming up, I'm going to tell you some of the facts of life and sum all this up in the next segment. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Back in the studio just ahead of segment 4 for this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Mobile Podcast Command is parked in its revetment, and it's on the block heater, and it's waiting for its next assignment. And I love that vehicle. It's a Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance, and it came from xgovernmentcars.com. I've had 3 Crown Vics, and of course, Mobile Podcast Command, and xgovernmentcars.com is the only place in Minnesota where you're going to find a great selection of one owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. What are we talking about? We're talking about Crown Vics while they last, the Ford SUVs, Expeditions, as well as the Ford Police SUV, the Ford Police sedans, Chevy Impala V8s. I mentioned Yukons and Expeditions. He has work trucks, all kinds of those things. And of course, the Dodge Charger. So it's a great place to find these great cars. And they pay the highest values every day for trades without all the bull. And the whole thing with ex-government cars that's great is if you need a car, if you need a loan, if you have a job, you're approved for credit. So here's what you do. Get your butt down to ex-government cars. They're open in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North. Or you can check them out online, of course, at xgovernmentcars.com and see the selection, or contact them old school using something called the telephone, 763-777-8782. I love ex-government cars. And again, I highly recommend it because it's an affordable vehicle that will last you a long time. xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Thanks to the digital sponsor, the Bob Davis Podcasts.com. Just ahead of segment 4 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. If you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, and Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Basically, it's a visual indicator of how much lift your wing is producing. It's very important on final approach. It's one of the biggest problems in general aviation, and you can learn more about that by checking out Alpha Systems by clicking on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page. Remember, Alpha Systems AOA saves lives and pilots. Good luck and fly safe. All right, here is segment 4 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Remember, for all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Well, we talked about the Messiah Syndrome in the first segment. We talked about partisans painting themselves into a corner, and we talked about false narratives. A lot of material to get to, a lot of thoughts that are really closely packed, but I hope it's making you think. So it's time to sum up with the facts of life. The facts of life, often presented to younger, more idealistic people, it is the truth about reality to Pollyanna, a classic character in American literature who played the so-called glad game, which was finding something to be happy about in the darkest of circumstances, hence the word Pollyanna, which describes an excessively optimistic person. So the facts of life are designed to educate Pollyanna into the hard realities of the world. And the facts of life in this case is a recitation of what is exactly facing us, what we exactly are facing as a people in terms of challenges to the future of this country. And by the way, this is not a complete list. This is just something that I've been able to compile just thinking about the stuff I wanted to say in this show. First and foremost, the total debt in our country is now either 71% of the GDP or 105% of the GDP, probably even greater than that, because this goes back to numbers collected in 2014 and 2015. If you include external debt, it's much higher. Some people say it's 120% of the GDP. High public debt depresses the GDP, making it more difficult to grow. Spending at the federal level is skyrocketing, and so are deficits year on year. So what am I talking about? Well, let's talk about non-discretionary spending. This is entitlements like Medicare, Social Security, Obamacare, and so forth that have to be funded. The fact is, non-discretionary spending will swamp the federal budget in the future. Debt and spending will not be controllable with budgeting on discretionary spending like the Defense Department and transportation, where we have all the arguments. So a lot of this stuff is just locked in unless somebody does something about the entitlements. Building roads and bridges, focus does not cause the economy to grow because there are cost overruns, waste and corruption in government projects, and because a lot of the money has to be block granted to states who then either, you know, bankroll it or use it for silly things. These projects also are financed with higher levels of taxation or higher levels of debt, which becomes a vicious cycle because it's a liability. It's not something that we're spending cash on. The trades and agriculture and the so-called blue-collar areas that might benefit most from quote-unquote government spending that we're always told are aided by this are finding it increasingly difficult to find new, younger employees from the ranks of American citizens. And despite all the talk about white America, birth rates among white Americans continue to decline. Birth rates are highest among immigrants and minority groups. The fact is, the United States will be a much more diverse population in 20 years. It already is a much more diverse population simply because of this fact of life. You know, minorities and these so-called immigrant groups have a higher pregnancy rate and a higher birth rate. Tax rates among the so-called middle class are historically low, actually, right now. So for all the talk about tax cuts, temporary tax cuts and changes in temporary payroll deductions have been the biggest culprits in taxation recently, not federal tax rates when it comes to the middle class. So cutting federal taxes isn't going to make much of a difference when it comes to the quote-unquote great middle class. Here's another one that I love, and this is a fact. People like Warren Buffett do not pay much federal tax. Why? Because their money is in stocks, which they pay capital gains on when they sell. This can be offset with losses. So the so-called upper 1% has most of their money in tax shelters unless they are salaried employees. And even then, they're not paying tax to the degree that the middle class is because they are able to legally avoid it with various tax shelters. And the same is also true with corporate tax rates. Supposedly, we have a 35%+ tax rate on companies, but almost no company pays that rate because they avoid taxation through various means, including Trump's company, which wrote off a big loss over 20 years ago and has not paid federal tax since, if you'll recall the debates. When you have big deficits, as we talked about, and you're running high deficits with historically low tax rates on the biggest part of the population, you cannot spend and tax your way out of the hole. You cannot spend and tax cut your way out of the hole, or what they call austerity today. Austerity is actually cutting taxes and spending significantly, not cutting taxes and spending more. So no wall and no big stimulus package. And if you're going to fix the ACA, you'd better fix it fast by getting rid of it as an entitlement so the government doesn't have to fund it. Same with Social Security and Medicare. So what do you think the political realities are in doing that? Do you think that that's going to happen? Because that's a fact of life, okay? No matter what the rhetoric was in terms of the election. Let's talk about trade. We cut trade deals because, generally speaking, our trade partners are trade protectionists. That is, they want to trade with the United States, but they don't want us to trade with them. So trade deals promoting free trade actually are good for the United States, not the other way around. Now, I've already demonstrated in previous shows that manufacturing jobs and agricultural jobs account for a small portion of United States workers, but if the U.S. lost 5 million manufacturing jobs over the last several years, as we have heard on the campaign trail, then where else did they go but China? Well, the facts of life is there was really no downturn at any time during this period of time in actual manufacturing output. U.S. production has been growing over the last decades. From 2006 to 2013, manufacturing grew by 17.5%, roughly 2% a year, according to a report from Ball State University. Trade accounted for 13% of lost U.S. factory jobs, but 88% of those jobs were taken by robots and other factors at home. This is not going to slow down. Let's talk about foreign policy, another fact of life. We are not going to stop ISIS by invading Syria and Western Iraq. We will start a bigger war, especially not for the third time in 20 years. We will not stop cyber attacks, Islamic Muslim Facebook and website pages without a loss of our rights against illegal search and seizure, which, by the way, is guaranteed by the same constitution that guarantees First Amendment and Second Amendment rights, which everyone seems to be so adamant about. Dealing with China will be a major foreign policy challenge of the next few years, and maintaining our relationships with our allies in the Pacific and Asia will be the biggest challenge, probably not Russia. alternative energy, for all of the talk about how great it is, does not produce enough energy to, quote, free us from foreign oil, not by a long shot. Only increased oil production in the U.S. is going to do that. By the way, wind and solar produce about 7% of the energy we use, and that's being kind. As the economy grows, alternative energy cannot provide the power needed for all of those manufacturing and agricultural jobs everybody wants, and not for the increased number of trips by individuals and companies in a growing economy. The only place you get it is fossil fuels. The real growth and major vulnerability in trade and defense in the next 20 years is going to come from IT, in social media, big data, the Internet of Things, offering services, automating all kinds of knowledge work, engaging citizens across the world with IT, virtual anything, using the Internet to expand your individual footprint, digital commerce, using IT to make government services more efficient and accountable, future iterations of smart devices, digital production and manufacturing, agriculture and construction, materials, medicine, and protecting the security of all these areas, value-added things like entertainment products and communications, not building bridges and highways and airports, and not causing wars by fighting extremist Muslims everywhere on the planet. Okay? Those are facts of life. A population animated by the left-right political spectrum, which includes largely rhetorical and shallow media coverage of events, personalities, and problems, will result in a woefully uninformed and unable to assist population when it comes to these major problems. So guess what? It's left to the elite, the Elaine Chows of the world, who will be even more highly compensated and more powerful because you and I are too busy talking about Kanye West. These issues and problems are, one, very big; two, too big for one political figure to handle; three, too big for one political party to handle; and four, too complex to depend on a population with the attention span of a gnat that communicates details on issues with memes and bumper stickers and tweets. The truth is that we as a people have got to change. We have got to start working from our own personal passions. We have to start informing ourselves better. We have to speak better. We have to think better. And we have to learn these new technologies in order to win in the future, because we're competing against not only 50 states, but the rest of the world. And the only question in any of this, in all of this, is this question of whether we are going to be able to do this. We aren't going to be able to do it sitting there watching CNN and YouTube and talking about Planet X and Kanye West and everything else. That stuff is fun to talk about. But especially on the right, rhetoric is not going to solve these problems. And I can't emphasize this enough. This is one of the key facts of life people simply don't want to hear. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show.
Sometimes I feel the fear of uncertainty stinging clear. And I can't help but ask myself how much I let the fear take the wheel and steer.
Thanks again to xgovernmentcars.com, Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Also, thanks to Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Remember, for emergency service this winter in St. Paul, you can call them at 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. And, of course, Hydrus, hydrusperformance.com. This is where you order Hydrus. It will transform whatever it is that you're doing. CrossFit, yoga. If you're out hunting, cycling, CrossFit, lifting, competitive sports like wrestling or tennis, it's definitely worth checking them out. HydrusPerformance.com. That's HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. Thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, and thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And again, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at TheBobDavisPodcast.com. This is the radio show for the week. Getting back into more podcasts next week right here at TheBobDavisPodcasts.com. Thanks for listening.